Today's title is The Highway to Hell. Yes, The Highway to Hell. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. This is the Lord speaking. And He says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there is many who go by, who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." If you notice, the Lord's going through a great dissertation on the Sermon on the Mount. And here He's closing with four warnings, of which the first He gives contrast to in two ways there is in the path of life, in this life. Then He goes and He says there's two types of trees, there are two claims, and finally there are two types of builders on this side of heaven. And then He instructs us that there are two ways. One is narrow, difficult, and unaccommodating. The other is wide, easy, and all too accommodating. The gates that lead to our destinies are neither narrow, or either narrow or white, or wide. Jesus instructs us to follow Him on a narrow path, for it leads to eternal life. The wide is the gate is where majority of the people will travel in this life because it's easy and unrestrictive. And to live on this highway is to do nothing but travel it. And in the end, leads to destruction or eternal damnation from God. The gates in and themselves are not an end to a means. They are the doorway to our end. And that is our choice for our destiny. And today I want us to focus on the wide road, the highway to hell, for the purpose of how we that are believers that are walking on this narrow path can help steal some of them away off of that highway. Can you turn it up? Turn it up. I want to blast these dudes. More like it. It's more like it. Like that song, don't you? Huh, Kev? That's a great song, isn't it? Good beat. Can you tell me the words? Saying that's the problem. AC/DC. Now, you've heard all kinds of stuff, but really they're supposed to be an electrifying band. It's really what it is. But here's the words. It says, living easy, living free, season ticket on a one-way ride. Ask nothing, leave me be, taking everything in my stride. Don't need reason, don't need rhyme, ain't nothing I would rather do. Going down, party time, my friends are going to be there too. I'm on the highway to hell. No stop signs, speed limit, nobody's going to slow me down. Like a wheel, going to spin it, nobody's going to mess me around. Hey Satan, paid my dues, playing in a rocking band. Hey mama, look at me, I'm on the way to the promised land. I'm on the high way to hell. The seduction of the beat has captivated a generation, my generation and the next generation. Yeah, this is the kind of music I used to listen to. Believe it or not. Headbangers Ball, we invented it. You guys only copy it. And that's the truth. But how apropos AC/DC describes what Jesus 2,000 years ago has described for every human person on this planet. We do not have to do anything. We are consigned to hell. Period. The first breath we take in this life, we are already on the highway to hell. And this highway is wide. You don't need rhyme or reason. You're on it. The object is to get off of it before you go through the gate. And I'll break it down to 5 speed lines or highway lanes or whatever that I see that is real important. Because you see, we have a bunch of family members, we have friends, we have acquaintances that are on this highway that are hell-bent on their own destruction. And you may say, Pastor, there's nothing I can do. There is a lot to do. Because see, contained within you is the potential, is the answer to everything that they're doing that they need to find the answer to. And that lies within you. That is the answer to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you say that prayer, then what are you doing with it? Because, you know, it's nothing but a prayer if all you do is sit here and mouth it, but you don't put any feet to it. The lines are certain, they're secure, and you know what? None of us can be ascertaining what good thing there is in our lives unless we understand that all of us are traveling down this highway. All of us. Every decision that we make is either made for the kingdom or for our selfishness, which leads to hell. And those lines or lanes are called disobedience to the gospel, sexual immorality, pride, maintaining a heart that does not want to deal with sin. And the fastest one of them all is suicide. Suicide. I heard a story one time where a chauffeur was driving his boss around, and they're going around this winding cliffs out in the Pacific Northwest. And the rich guy said to the driver, he says, you know, what do I need to do to get to hell fast? He says, I'll pull over and let you jump from the car onto the rocks below. You see, suicide, self-destruction is the fastest way that a person can enter into hell. Because you see, your decision on this side seals your fate on the other. And it seals the fate of all those who are on there. And all of us know someone or many of them who are contemplating suicide. But Pastor, you know, I don't know what to say to them. That's your problem. You think you got something to say. You have nothing to say. You have something to give. You have someone to give to them. And the problem is you're not just think about what you're going to say, you just open your mouth. Jesus said, take no thought of what you'll say in that day. It won't be you speaking, it'll be the Holy Spirit in you speaking. But I'm afraid of what they'll say to me. I'll be afraid. You know what? Then you're on the highway to hell. You're on the highway to hell because there's no reality to your Christian walk. It's just words. And Jesus Christ died not just in words. He demonstrated it. And his prayer for the church is that we would know him and the power of his resurrection. You see, unless you're sitting in righteousness, you will not attain the power of righteousness, which is able to defeat all aspects of the devil, even death. Church, the reality of where we're going has to be your reality. To sit and be a pew sitter is no longer the option any longer. There are too many people that are going down this highway thinking that they're going to have a party. Yeah, you know, when I get down there in the hell, I'm going to crack open a new keg and me and Satan, my boy, we're going to go down there and we're going to party. Or we're going to stick needles in our arms. We're going to have the best drugs in there. My veins are going to be so on fire. And I've even heard the stupid questions like, you know, what am I going to do? I'm going to sit there and party. I'm going to spit in God's face. You better read your scriptures. You better see what Jesus said about it, because it's not a place of party. It's not a place that you want to be, nor do you want your friends to be. It is not a holiday. It is not party time. It's the beginning of judgment and your destruction. Jesus told us, you know, don't fear any person who's able to destroy your body. Fear him who's able to destroy your body and your soul. We must understand that suicide is a spirit. And we have great examples through the scriptures of suicide. But let me give you some of those scriptures. John 17:12, the Lord says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I kept. And none of them were lost except that which the scriptures might be fulfilled. Acts 1:23, Peter speaking here, he says, to take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas, by transgression, fell that he might go to his own place. Acts 1:16-18. Men and brethren, this scripture has been fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry. Now this man purchased the field with the wages of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his entrails gushed it out. Suicide. Judas committed suicide. Why? You ever think about it? Why did Judas commit suicide? Didn't think he was worthy. Wasn't worthy. Go ahead, Dan. The spirit of the devil did enter him. What else? Guilt. Guilt. And most people who are contemplating suicide, you can't understand the guilt and pain that is within a person. And they think that their end, because this spirit is whispering death, that they'll be better off leaving this world. In reality, become so overwhelmed that they feel that they have no other options. Do commit suicide. Highway to hell. Fastest lane. There are no speed signs. There's no stop signs. No lights. No toll booths. You're just driving down this lane of your life, allowing this spirit, this demonic influence, lie and cheat people out of their lives. And I had heard years ago when I was a young Christian, a person said to me that suicide was the destruction of the temple of the living God. and that God would not forgive them. But I tell you that suicide is even worse than that. Suicide is thinking that you have no hope. And that the best way out with no hope is to take your life. When we know that the only hope that there is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when a person takes their life, there is no chance of them ever hearing the gospel. Never hearing the gospel. They have consigned themselves to eternal damnation. And that is not God's heart for them. And it's not God's heart for some of you to contemplate this periodically. You must recognize that it is a domineering spirit of death, a spirit of murder that causes people. And listening to this kind of garbage polluting your ears and your spirit is what brings those spirits in. Believe me, I was there. I was one of them contemplating suicide. I'm not just sharing some information. I'm telling you that that is garbage. And the more garbage that we pull in through our eyes and our ears pollutes our spirits. It doesn't matter how much people say they love us, because all we're doing is being filled with more and more of this crap that's polluting us more and more, and we're feeling more and more guilty about ourselves. That we don't like our lives, we don't like being around people. And the best thing to do is to go into Hotel 6 and check out. Fortunately, somebody was brave enough to share the gospel with me. Fortunately, somebody shared the love of Jesus Christ with me. They didn't take any thoughts. They didn't know what I was going through. Even my wife didn't know what I was going through. But somebody shared the good news of Jesus Christ with me. And I began to contemplate an alternative. Judas. Yeah, he fulfilled the scriptures. He is known as the son of perdition, or the child of destruction. And I have a different take on Judas than most people. No, I would not name any of my kids Judas, and I don't think any people today in their right mind would name their kids. Although there's Judas Priest, which is a band, which pulls out just as much garbage, if not more so, to pollute the spirits of our young people. The seduction of the beat and the music. But hear the words. See, they're subliminal. They're not what you hear, and that's what goes into your spirit. And I listen to that garbage. 7 days a week, 20 hours a day. Because it was cool. I wanted to be cool. Judas didn't believe in Christ. He was with him for 3.5 years and didn't believe. He saw all the miracles that Jesus did. But he didn't believe with his heart. And so he sold the King of Glory for 30 pieces of silver. And when he realized too late that he had betrayed innocent blood, he tried to go back to the Sanhedrin and give the money back to the Pharisees. And they left his guilt upon him and refused to take back the money. They played him like a bad guitar. And when he realized what he had done, and the scripture says he was filled with remorse, but who was he going to go to? Who was going to forgive him? Who was going to give him absolution? He was on the highway to hell. He tied a rope around a tree and he fell off the cliff. The rope broke and he fell down upon the rocks and all his guts just spilled out. The spirit of death got him. sad. He felt that there was no way out. He felt there was no one who could relate to him. And probably not, except the Lord himself. Because I believe in that even if he had gone to the Lord would have forgiven him. Just like he said to John, let all the scriptures be fulfilled. But the lie of the enemy, the seduction of the enemy, the lure of what this world is offering, only pollutes us to the point that when we finally wake up, it's too late. It's too late. We don't have any family or friends that want to listen to us. We don't want to make confession. We don't want to get forgiveness. Because after all, we're in a passing lane. We're in a speed lane of hopelessness and desperation and despair. And he wasn't going to be set free of that by himself. The spirit of death will use many vessels to convince us to kill ourselves. He will use a knife, a razor, rope, gun, even pills, poison, dope, even toxic gas. He'll allow us to jump off of bridges or run in front of vehicles just to get killed. How many of us have heard about teenagers running out, stealing their family's car, going to the bridge and jumping off the bridge? Sad. Sad. A life filled with potential. Gone in a fleeting moment. And everybody left. Why? Why did she do that? Why did he do that? I think because we're so self-absorbed, we fail to see the signs of what goes on in a person's life. And because we're so self-indulgent, we don't even want to see. We don't even want to be able to reach out to these who are in dire need to come off the highway of hell. You see, the only place that we're going to be able to reach them is not driving down the highway with them, racing with them to try to tell them to pull over. No. The only place we're going to be able to get them on the highway of hell is at the rest stops. The rest stops. Where are these rest stops? These are in rehabs. When they're in jail. When they've tried to OD. When they're at the beer joints, drinking themselves silly. These are the rest stops on the highway to hell. Are we reaching them? Or are we still stuck in our own lives? You see, as long as there are on this side breathing, on this side of the gates, it's not final. But once they commit the act and they've crossed over, their fate is sealed. There's no hope. Just an immediate fall into hell. Eternally lost forever. And it breaks God's heart that we, the church, are doing such a bad job. We medicate. We excuse. We give fancy names to all this stuff. We even convince ourselves, well, I don't have the education to speak to a person that is in dire need. You have the Holy Spirit. What more do you need? What you need to do is rely on Him and open up your mouth. Are you so selfish to keep life from a person who is in dire need? Are you too on the highway of hell? Those are the questions you've got to ask yourself. Some stats. I looked at for stats that were close, and the closest I could get was 05. Some stats. 32,637 suicides were committed in 2005 between the ages of 5 and 84 years of age. Yes, 5 years old committing suicide. 25,907 were men. 6,730 were females. And teens, there was 3,260. Montana had the largest percentage per population ratio at 22%. New Jersey had the lowest at 6.1%. California, which was ranked number 42, had the highest number of suicides at 3,206, or 8.9% of their population. And the District of Columbia, which is ranked 51st, had the lowest of 33 at 6%. Of course, that was augmented because they had the highest murder ratio in the country. Highway to hell. 73% are white males, and 80% of all suicides are committed with guns. For every one suicide, there are 25 attempts. Teen males are 4 times more successful in committing suicide than females, although teen girls will attempt it 20 more times than teen boys. Highway to hell. Some of the warning signs. An inability to concentrate, prolonged sadness, unexplained crying, irritability, agitation, pessimism, feelings of guilt, anxiousness, anger, worthlessness, worry, withdrawn from social events, reoccurring thoughts of death, indifference, change of sleep and eating patterns, no joy, loss of energy, and the worst one of all, and this most serious one of all, is the giving away of prized personal possessions. Because it's only a matter of time after they give away what they value the most. Because, you see, they don't value the life that God has given to them. Because they have nothing to live for. They have no hope. It's only a matter of time before they commit the act of suicide. My Bible tells me that we are all able ministers of the gospel. My Bible tells me that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My Bible tells me there's no weapon formed against me that shall prosper. What's your Bible tell you? Does it seem like I'm a little harsh? You better believe it, because I'm tired of seeing people go to hell when God has made a way for them to live eternally with Him. I'm tired of seeing the church excuse its behavior, because we will have no excuse when we stand before Him. I'm tired of trying to exhort God's people to doing what is right and what they know to do right. And they themselves are disobedient to what the Lord wants to do. I've told you many times, this is real stuff. This is real serious. We can have fun, and we should have fun. We should be the happiest people in the world. But when we have family members and friends that are going to hell, who are considering taking their own lives and never hearing the gospel, we consign them to eternal damnation, because we had opportunity to say something to them. We had the opportunity to present the gospel of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, whose eternal hope is that we live with Him forever. Highway to hell is not a joke. And it's sad that I find in a song so apropos describing the vast majority of people on that. Even the Church of Jesus Christ is on this highway. Church, I want to exhort you that, yeah, we're a ragtag bunch of people, but you know what? You got God in you. You have eternal hope. You have been given eternal life. And you should not be satisfied in just keeping it for yourself. The greatest joy that any parent could ever have isn't because he's got married. It's children. It's able to see newborn children. Because now you could see the next generation coming up. And that is great joy to any parent. What greater joy does our Father in heaven when he sees another one come into the kingdom of light, snatched out of the kingdom of darkness, snatched out of hopelessness, snatched out of worthlessness, snatched out of all the lies that the pit of hell is telling them and trying to convince them that is all consigned for them. Church, those people that you know, befriend them. Give them an opportunity. Give them an ear. Give them life. Give them Jesus. Because he's the only hope for the world. He's the only one that can break this insidious posturing that the enemy has upon these people's lives. Because you see, their eternal destiny is predicated on us sharing the good news. It's not an issue of if we do it. It's an issue, will we do it? And I believe we will. Amen? Father, we just come before you, Lord God, and I ask, Father, that you refresh us, God, with your power and your might. Holy Spirit, that as you make known to us those individuals, Father, that are contemplating suicide, that every 17 minutes another person commits suicide. The Father, that we would help those to snatch them out of the fires of hell, Lord God. That there would be another place setting at your table, Lord God. There would be another soul, Father, that would see, and your kingdom would continue to grow, and your church would continue to grow powerful, Lord God. That, Father, we would not just touch the potential, but God, we would release the resurrected life that you have now put in us throughout this world, Lord. That, Father, that you would drive back darkness, Lord God. That you would drive back the darkness in our own lives, God. That you would drive back the darkness of this world so that your glorious light may be seen. And that men would come to you, Lord. Father, as we lift up Jesus Christ to you, Lord. As we lift up the glorious gospel, God. Empower us, Holy Spirit, that once we open up our mouths, that you would take over. That you would give the seasoned words that these people need to hear for them to receive you, Lord God. And Father, as you have come alongside of us, help us to come alongside of them. To walk the extra mile, to give them the extra clothing, to feed them the extra meal, whatever it needs, God, as long as they come to a saving knowledge of you and are transformed into your glorious image, God. That is reward enough for us. I thank you for the attentiveness of your people and ask that you bless them richly. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.